I want to lead our minds in the epistle of 1 Thessalonians this evening. See me getting mixed up now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 8 is where we're going to focus tonight. So if you would mark your text there, we're going to spend the majority of our time in that. So what we're really talking about is growth. And growth in something, and that is purity. Growth and purity. The Thessalonian church, in this context, they were really being commended for how they were abounding in purity, how they were abounding in holiness. But you notice something as you go throughout this text is that they were to continue to grow in it. So not only were they abounding in it, but they were to continue to abound in it. So that's something that we need to do as well, Christians, that we might be in a good place in life. We might be in a good place spiritually. We might be serving God well. We might be doing all that we can, we think, but we can always be thinking that we can do more. So it's just a mindset. It's the thing that, of course, that we're never being lukewarm, that we're never being settled, that we're never thinking that, well, I've done enough. But we always need to be doing more as long as we live as Christians on this earth. So that's the urge here. Let's start there in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verses 1 through 2. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 2. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort. So two words there, urge and exhort. In the Lord Jesus, that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. So Paul, of course, the writer of this epistle, and those who are with him, they're urging the Thessalonians. We know that from the words of Paul, from the language that he's using, that they were there before. So they were the ones that taught these Thessalonians most likely. They were the ones that taught them, that told them the things of Christ, and now these Thessalonians are abounding in these things in purity, but they're to be abounding even more. They're to be growing in these things. So they should continue to be sanctified in this way. Sanctified how? In the things of the Spirit, in the things that are not of the flesh, but of a spiritual nature. If we're higher than the flesh, if we're higher than physical desires, well, we must be in things of the Spirit. We're focused on things of the spiritual nature, so things of God. And of course, that's what Paul is trying to gear these Thessalonians' mind to stay in and even grow in, is growing in the things of spirits. So let's look at this text together. First of all, we saw that plea to grow in the holiness of God in verse 1. A plea to grow in the holiness of God. So let's apply this to ourselves. Well, the report for the Thessalonians is that they're doing good, but they should even try to do better. Well, we may be doing good, Berryville Church of Christ, but we need to do even better. We need to try to do even more for the local community as far as Jesus Christ goes and spreading of His gospel. We need to do more for our state, for our country, all these different places that we can think of. We need to do more. More for spreading the gospel to the souls around us. More for even spreading the gospel to our own souls. So if you think about how much we read the Bible on a daily basis, maybe we don't read it on a daily basis. Maybe we read it every week. Maybe it's only whenever we come together in services that you read the Scriptures. That ought not to be so. We should be reading the Scriptures often. Reading the Scriptures on a daily basis, I would say. Reading the Scriptures maybe every other day, if you can. Try to have the Scriptures and really in the foremost thought in your mind. Really to try to focus on the things of God first and foremost always. So not putting the things of God after anything else, but focusing on God. That's how you continue to abound in the things of Spirit. You try more and more to learn. Who here has read the Bible completely? Every time you read the Bible, do you find out more that you didn't know? I do. Yeah, we all do. So we should, of course, every single time that we come to the Scriptures, come with an open mind. So you're not just reading the same thing over again. There's always more to learn. There's always more to learn that is there, that God has put there for you, that the Holy Spirit's put there for you. So be ready with that open mind and think, I'm not just reading the same old book again. You might think about old books like To Kill a Mockingbird, I was just thinking about recently. Books like that. Well, I read that again. I already know what's happening, so it's not that special. But with the Bible, it is special because those are spiritual lessons that you're learning, things that will save your soul. And each time you read it, you learn more. Maybe of complex language, maybe in the book of Revelation, maybe in the prophetical books, maybe in the Pentateuch. Each time you read it, you might not remember what you'd read before, or you might not even have learned whenever you were reading before, something you needed to learn. So, of course, you only get this how. You only get that knowledge how. From studying it, from actually reading it. So you got to train yourself to start getting into the Word as often as you can. If you can't do it every day, maybe it's too much of a challenge. Okay. But try to do it as much as you can. Try to study the Word. Try to read the words of this Bible so that you know what God is trying to say to you, what God has for you in this text, in this New Testament. Of course, in the Old Testament too, because that's for our learning. So, good things to think about. Never be stale or still water as a Christian. Never be settled for, well, I'm okay. Always be thinking, what can I do more for Christ? And if it's just reading your Bible, if it's just giving more maybe in the collection plate, if it's maybe doing those things to give to a mission work, give to the work here, whatever it may be, these different things, God sees that. God sees you trying to do more for Him. So all of these things we remember, we need to be trying to push to do more for God. And I'm not meaning to get into giving right now, but every time that I put in the collection plate, I try to make sure that it's a sacrifice. I try to make sure that it's maybe more than what I might give to something else. So you see, it's sacrifice. Even sacrifice of time to read the Word of God. So you're putting in as much as you can with what you have. It's the same thing with giving time to God, with focusing on God in your life, focusing on spiritual things. Of course, these will keep you from lust. These will keep you from temptations as well, whenever you focus on God and on reading His Word, on knowing it. So these are also in verse 2. What are these? These are commandments of God. Commandments of God. That's what there Paul is saying. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. So not only is it from God, but also it's from their head, from Jesus Christ. So He is also our head, just as He was the head of the Thessalonian Church of Christ, He is the head of us, the Variable Church of Christ. So these are commandments. They're also for us Christians. So that's also, we can look at all these epistles as in context and only sticking to their day, but we shouldn't do that. We should also see them as applying to who? To us, today, in this day and age. So all these things, of course, apply to us too in this Thessalonian letter with all these spiritual lessons. Now, let's continue on in Revelation, if you turn there with me. Revelation, we're going to be in chapter 3, in verses 14 to 19. Revelation 3, 14 to 19. So continuing to abound in purity. Revelation 3, 14 to 19. We know about the church of the Laodiceans, don't we? And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, verse 14, these things says Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, that's Jesus. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now, I'll stop there for a second. Why are they wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? Well, we know by fact that Jesus has already said they're lukewarm. So that means they sit in between growing and then not growing. So, well, being evil, really. So they're sitting in a place of lukewarmness. They're sitting in a place where they're not moving whatsoever. That's really what Paul is trying to urge the Thessalonians in our main context to stay away from doing, to make sure that they're continuing to abound in purity, that they're growing in the things of purity, in the things of holiness. So that's what the Laodiceans are doing here. And of course, what does Jesus say about them? He wants to vomit them out of his mouth. You could even say that it's worse to be indifferent than it is to be entirely wicked. And why is that? Because Jesus says He's going to vomit those who are indifferent out just as those who are wicked. So if you're accepting of really just being fine with never growing, with just being stale as you are, and you're in full knowledge of what's going to happen because of that, you could call that even worse. So definitely being lukewarm is a danger, of course, to the Thessalonian church. Thinking about these things with the Laodiceans. Verse 19, as many as I love you, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. So we know that it is a sin to be lukewarm because they're told to be repenting. They're told to be zealous. Their problem is lukewarmness, the Laodiceans, and they're told to repent for it. So remember to never stop growing, Christians. Never stop growing, Thessalonians. Never stop growing, Berryvillians. Berryanites, whatever we might be called. So be vigilant. Be diligent to study the Word of God often. Be growing daily. Do all that you can. Never become indifferent with your faith. That word indifferent, that could be really talking about the same thing as lukewarmness, but that's really what you can call it, is indifference spiritually. Spiritual indifference, a very dangerous thing that we need to be aware of, Christians. Very dangerous. Now, the next few verses, let's get into it in 1 Thessalonians 4 once again. 1 Thessalonians 4, we're going to read verses 3 through 4 now. For this is the will of God, verse 3, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Keep in mind, as we go through this next part, that it's talking about control. Control and abstaining from sexual immorality. But really, this is a plea for purity, as you see in your New King James Version header. It's a plea for purity in really all states. So if you control your body as far as not falling into the temptations as far as sexual immorality, if you control it in that way, you should also be able to control it in every way. So not just in that way, but in every way. Remember that we're not walking in lust of the flesh, not walking in, of course, only physical desires and letting those things control us, but we're to be walking in things of spirit. We're to be focusing on things of spirit first and being of the higher standard that God has called us to. So we're sanctified as well. As we're reading there, we're sanctified. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, verse 3, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. So the sanctification, of course, is from the rest of the world's wickedness. As the rest of the world and the Gentiles, as this text will say, are doing whatever they want, are letting their physical desires take control of their bodies, walking in whatever way they want without any care of morality whatsoever. Well, we as Christians are walking sanctified because we choose to walk in the ways of Spirit. Can you become unsanctified as a Christian? You actually can. You actually can because you can choose to walk in darkness. That's what we call falling away. So becoming unsanctified is whenever you choose no longer to walk in the ways of God, walk in the ways of the Spirit, but you're focusing on things of the flesh only now. You're focusing on your own desires. So you can become unsanctified in that way. You still be a Christian, but you'd be a fallen away Christian. So just understanding that as well as a side note. But these are just some instructions to the Church of Christ in Thessalonica as we look through this. Also instructions to us as the church today. But this is talking about all sorts of immoral sexual practices. You might think about the things that were happening back in that day. Religious paganism type sexual practices. There were things going on in temples that, of course, were of a sexual nature. And they were claiming that it was religious. There were pagan gods, of course, that they were worshiping. So prostitution, religious prostitution, bestiality, necrophilia, homosexuality, adultery, everything you can really think of, all the entities or all that, all those different immoralities, sexually you might say. But it's really, once again, not just talking about sexual things. As we're talking about in general a plea for purity, we're talking about an entire, really a gearing of self and of really trying to get your body under submission. The way I like to think about it is holding your body on a leash. You know how you hold a dog on a leash? Well, you might want to hold your body on a leash too before it gets off the hook and does whatever it wants. Before it gets off the leash and does whatever it wants and leads you into all kinds of temptations. Birth sin and then causes your soul to be lost. So control your body. Control your physical desires so you don't lose your soul because of it. Are we responsible for our vessels? Our vessels being our physical bodies? I'm responsible for mine just as much as you're responsible for yours. So we need to make sure that as we live on this earth with our physical bodies, that we're controlling these bodies because the soul needs to take control over the body. We are, of course, called to that higher standard. We're called to the standard of heaven, to the standard of God. The question is, are we living of it? Those are applications we can apply tonight, Christians. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter 6. We're going to read some passages here. So keep your marker there and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to find out what true sanctification today comes by. So talking about sanctification once again, how does it come? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7. Start there with me, if you would. Now therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And here's that verse that we all know, those verses. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals and sodomites, nor thieves and covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, and see how, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Of course, it's because they walk in the Spirit now. After they became Christians, they walked in the Spirit. So they're sanctified, separated from the rest of the world because of their choice to walk in Christ, because of their choice to obey God in that manner. Now, 1 Corinthians 6, once again, we're going to read verses 15 through 20 now. Verses 15 through 20. So we're talking about controlling our bodies now, once again. Verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Now, I might say, remember, this is to the Corinthian church, but we can also use this as a reference. Verse 16. For do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. Verse 17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Do you realize you were bought, Christians? Whenever you chose to be baptized, whenever you chose to follow that plan of salvation we all know, whenever you walk in the Spirit, realize that you are bought at a price. You were bought at Jesus Christ's sacrifice for you. And that you need to continue to walk as Jesus wants you to walk in order to continue to have that sanctification as a child of God. You were bought by Christ to be a child of God, to be adopted as a child of God. You were bought in that way. We were Gentiles. We were Gentiles. We weren't Jews. We weren't children of God by, of course, the Israelite lineage or whatever you may want to call it. We were born of God, and we're born of God now because of Christ, because we were adopted by Christ. You might call it in that way. It's how we know it. Because Jesus purchased us with His blood. Jesus purchased us in that sacrifice that He made for us. And of course, verse 17, did you notice what it said? He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. One spirit with Him. So there's no separation. It's sanctification with God. It's separation from the rest of the world with God. You're with God now. You're not like the rest of the world. You're away from all those immoralities. You're away from all the lusts of the flesh, lusts of the eyes, and the lusts of the pride of life. All those different things. You're away from it now, and you're rather staying with God and all that He wants you to do. So you're fleeing things like sexual immorality, verse 18. And you're realizing that your body is not your own. It's not your own. You know that phrase slaves of God that the New Testament uses? That's not used in a bad way. That's to make us realize that our bodies are God's. And to me, to be a slave of God, that's a comforting thought. Is it to you? It's a comforting thought to be a slave of God. Do we still have free will? Yeah, we still have free will, even as slaves of God. We have free will. But that free will, of course, was staying in God's law. And then what do we get? A reward. So that's not really slavery with the negative connotation as you might think of it, but that's a good type of slavery that you might think of. Being in God, being a child of God, being one who is under God. That's a beautiful, wonderful thing. Our bodies are members of Christ, verse 15. So we were bought at a price, verse 20. So remember that we need to be leading our bodies with the Spirit, leading our bodies with the things of Christ, not leading our bodies with physical desires. So some different things and side notes we can learn there. Let's go back to our main text. So turn your marker. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 5 through 6 now. 5 through 6. Not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter. Because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. So staying in the same context, of course, it's really just talking about the same thing. Not leading your body with physical desires, but leading it correctly, leading it with the Spirit, leading it with the things of God, the things that you're, of course, commanded to do within the New Testament. So these Thessalonians, they're being told this. They're being told to possess their vessels correctly, possess their bodies correctly. They need to control their bodies. What can you do whenever you're having trouble controlling your body? Can you reach out to your brethren? Can you reach out to brethren? And should brethren help you with that? They should. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they'd rather have your downfall. And that's sad. But they should help you. But trust your brethren in that they will help you. That's why we have the invitation tonight. That's why we had it this morning. That's why we take care of you spiritually. That's why we take care of each other spiritually. Because none of us here has never been guilty of sin. All of us have sinned at one point in time. And we're forgiven of it constantly. So, leading the body with the Spirit, controlling our bodies. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. So keep your marker there, Romans chapter 8 now. Romans 8, we're going to start in verse 1. Romans 8 and verse 1. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the what? The Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You can think of that as fleshly, really, in that carnally word. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Of course, it would be subject to self only, nor indeed can be. Verse 8, so then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Continue on with me, verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Last verse. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So this whole text here, as a side reference, is really trying to gear us, really again, to think in what way? Spiritually. Now, something that I've done as I've been here in Berryville, I've really tried to do in every single lesson, the first lessons I did, I've tried to most of all, but I've tried to re-gear our minds in a spiritual way. I've tried to get us to stay off of thinking physically, and as far as really trying to fulfill all physical desires, maybe trying to think more about taking care of ourselves and our bodies rather than taking care of our responsibility to God. We need to think more spiritually. We need to think about growth. Think about doing more for God. Think about what we can do tomorrow. Maybe the fellowship that we can have with each other as brethren. Maybe the different things we can do for our community. All these different things are growing you as a Christian. So we're trying to re-gear our minds spiritually and try not to think so fleshly, because once again, lukewarmness, it's dangerous. If we're never moving, that's dangerous. We need to make sure that we're always growing as Christians. We're always doing more, even as a congregation. Of course, things like giving to works, doing all types of those things, all encompass that. So remember, in context, the Thessalonians, they're being warned of these very things to make sure that they're possessing their vessels correctly, that they're leading their bodies in things of spirit, not in things of flesh. Making sure that the Spirit comes first, that God comes first in their lives. And really, that's a phrase that you can put it in simply, put God first. Put God first. That's one of the easiest phrases you could give to sum up this lesson. Put God first. So we talked about restraining your body, like pulling it on a leash, saying, no, body, no. So that's really what you have to do. If a sin or a temptation comes up, lust of the flesh, eyes, pride of life, no, body, don't fall into that temptation. Pull the leash. Keep it off. So it's like a dog. You see, a dog and an animal, whenever they see food or something, do they stop and say, well, maybe my owner won't like me doing that, or maybe God won't like me doing that, or do they rather just go for it? They just go for it. An animal just wants the food. They just go for it. They're ravenous all the time like that. Maybe you have them disciplined. Well, my dog would never do that. But an animal in general, in the wild, they just go for it. They don't have any kind of morality like that. Have any kind of higher thoughts like that, because it's an animal. But we, of course, as humans, as creation of God, who have everything in our dominion, of course, we have spirits. We are those who need to be called to that higher standard. We need to be thinking about controlling our bodies to be in a higher standard as God would want us to use them. There is a way to have things in life, like maybe sexual intercourse, maybe these different types of things. There's ways to have that God allows. And if we don't do it in that way, then it's wrong. Is sex in and of itself wrong? I don't mean to get into things weird, but is that in and of itself wrong? No, it's not. No. It's not wrong, of course, if it's done in the right way. Who's the one who made it? God is. So it has to be done the right way. And many other things like it. So everything, of course, if it's within the law of God, is okay. But that's if it's in the things of the Spirit, if it's in the law of God. So keep that in mind, Christians. Of course, this text is, of course, not just talking about sexual immorality. Not just talking about that. You can take it in a general way as well. And that's really what Paul was meaning, as well in a general way. So don't let desires get out of control. There is ways to control your body and make sure that you're doing it to, of course, be following God's Word all the time. Let's read our last two verses. Last two verses there in 1 Thessalonians 4, 7 through 8. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Verse 8. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Now this is what we've talked about before, but can you save everyone? No, you can't. You can't save everyone. People are going to make their choices. So whenever they do that, whenever they choose to walk in the lust of the flesh, that's not your fault. That's their fault. Everyone makes their own choice. If we go back to 1 Samuel, this is the last text we're going to look at, so you can leave out that marker now. But 1 Samuel, in chapter 8, verses 6 through 9, I'm sure you know where I'm going. 8, 6 through 9 is whenever the people wanted a king. You remember that? They wanted a king for themselves. And rather than having God as their leader, as their king, of course, they were rather wanting a physical king, a man as a king. So 1 Samuel 8, 6 through 9. Read it together. But the thing displeased Samuel, verse 6, when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." So Samuel prayed to the Lord. Verse 7, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also." So once again, as they were doing back then, God was trying to urge Samuel, don't get discouraged. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. Of course, that being God. So they're rejecting God here, of course, in this text, just as one who might walk in the flesh today would be rejecting God, not rejecting any one of our brethren. Now, is it a sad thing whenever a brother or sister falls away? Oh, it's an absolutely sad thing. It's an awful thing whenever a brother or sister falls away. It's terrible. But one thing that we can take comfort in, and yes, it is something we can take comfort in, is the justice of God and the fact that was their choice. There's nothing I can do about it. And I know that God is always doing the right thing. And of course, it's just their choice, Christians. There's nothing we can do about it. Of course, we need to make sure that we're always keeping watch of ourselves first and then of other Christians, but people will make their choice. That's really all you can say about it. People are just going to do what they do. You can't save everyone. Paul even said in 2 Corinthians 14, or 1 Corinthians 14, and somewhere around 36 to 38, that whoever is ignorant, just let him be ignorant. Because the things that Paul was writing, they were commandments of God. Whoever's ignorant, let him be ignorant. Because there's going to be most people who are ignorant in this world. They choose to be like that. But, of course, Christians, we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can for God. We can't save everyone. That's not a testament against us. That doesn't mean that it's our fault that somebody falls away. That doesn't mean that it's because of something we said, something we did. Maybe it is. We didn't handle it right. But if we did handle it right, and likely Christians, I would say we do, but that's not our fault. So just remember that and don't let it discourage you. Maybe to the point of you also falling away, don't let that discourage you. Make sure that you always remember that it's not you that they're rejecting. It's not you they're saying the thing against. Maybe they start cussing at you because they're mad. Maybe they start saying, "Well, I don't want to follow God anymore, and I don't like any of you. I don't want to follow." It's not you they're rejecting. Once again, it's God. And isn't that really the most important thing? Things of the Spirit, things of an eternal nature. They're rejecting God. So put away maybe the discouragement from that and realize they're rejecting God. God will deal with them. I can't change anything with that. I can't do anything about that. I can extend love to them. Maybe I can say, "We should come back, brother or sister. I wish you'd come back." And we've got many here in the Berryville Church of Christ to think which that might be the case. There's some from other places that I know who are living in this area who also were like that. We might be able to say, "I wish you'd come back, brother or sister. I wish you'd go see your family again up at that congregation you used to go to." There is some like that here. I know of them because people have asked me to try to do something about it. But we can't do about anything about it all the time. Sometimes they just won't listen. They won't come back. And that's, once again, not our fault. That's their fault. So I don't mean to keep harping on this, but you get the point. We need to remember to stay pure. Of course, don't blame yourselves when other people, and brethren maybe, choose to walk in the flesh, choose darkness. That's their choice. Sometimes there's just nothing you can do about it. If you're forcing someone's spirituality, is it any spirituality at all? No, it's not. No, it's not. And that's why God's entire law is really based upon free will. Free will. We're not like robots. We're not like slaves in that way. Well, we don't get to choose. That's not that has nothing to do with the heart then. And all God really cares about is the heart. So remember that it's all about your choice. It's all about the choices of people. There's just nothing you can do sometimes. Now, the lesson is yours tonight, Christians. If you have any needs at all, do come to the front as we're about to stand and sing. Let us pray with you as we talked about. Let us as brethren help you tonight if you have any struggles at all. Everyone here is a Christian, so just keep in mind as we talked about studying the Word of God that we remember the plan of salvation and then why we have that plan of salvation. So there's many different verses there on our bulletins, of course, that you can look at. But if you're also wanting to remember that plan of salvation and verses that go along with it, both by command and example, all those verses are there provided for you on that bulletin. So be sure to pick that up if you're trying to teach a coworker or a neighbor or anyone like that maybe, or anyone of the world, doing local evangelism, whatever it may be. If you're subject to the invitation tonight, please do come to the front as we stand and as we sing.
To thee, my blessing.